The meeting is now called to order at 6:05. Those in attendance, Yvonne Nass.
Kiara Pinola-Beck.
Zeke Allinson.
Beth Carter.
Dwayne Sims.
Erin Carroll.
Angela Anthony.
Thank you very much. The first thing on our agenda is the minutes from the September 21st meeting. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes?
There's an incorrect date in here.
Okay.
Under the head of school report?
Yes.
The charter renewal is in its final stages and will be submitted by September 30th deadline.
Okay, so correction is September 30th. Any other corrections or additions to the minutes?
Nope.
May I hear a motion to accept?
Motion to accept.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No opposed. Minutes are accepted. Okay, thank you very much. And we will go into finance report.
Finance report.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's see here. This was September, which Karen tells us was a three-pay month. It was also the month when the health insurance for new employees began to kick in, which is something she wants to keep an eye on. Web report reflects that really there was no local funds received, but when we met last week, she told us they've all come in now. That won't show up until next month. So she said there's just a couple of things to keep an eye on. First is that in the operations revenue line where all of our state fund for our staff is, she said that number is still subject to deeds adjustments where people's experience and qualifications get adjusted based on transcripts from their secondary schools and things like that. And also, it still needs to be adjusted for the new employees' health insurance and an uptick in the state match tax. So all of those are anticipated to be slightly positive adjustments to what we're going to get from the state. The one thing that might be a slightly negative adjustment is down on the school district local funds revenue line, where we're still, as of September anyway, we're still waiting on $2.2 million. And the issue there is that I think as a result of the litigation that occurred last year around what was included in the match tax, the Department of Education has asked for AG review of what is appropriately included in the match tax and was and what isn't, and it's only after that gets resolved that we will get our local match tax dollars in, and it could go down a little bit is what Karen's feel on it was, but nothing substantial to be overly concerned about. The last thing she flagged as a possible negative impact on the budget is that that they've calculated at the end of 2017, when they were having budget, the state was having budget problems, they took back some money.
They meaning the state.
The state took back funds that had been appropriated. It was called the give back, the state cut give back. And based on preliminary figures of what that figure is for this year, it might go up slightly more than had been anticipated. Again, she doesn't know, and she doesn't think it's likely to be anything significant. So the overall conclusion is that we're looking at we've got a budgeted revenue of $7.6 million. We've got budgeted expenses of $6.9 million. That's a surplus of $730,000. Of course, we carried over $1.2 million, so that surplus is shrinking. And that's what we anticipated. That's what our projection showed this year, next year. Next year's supposed to be worse. Karen thinks that instead of it actually shrinking by about $500,000, she thinks by the end of the carryover shrinking from last year to this year by a total of $500,000, she thinks by the end of the year it's only going to shrink by like $200,000. We'll see. So we are deficit spending, which we concluded is probably, or not probably, but it might be something the development committee can use in their talking points about the fact that, some foundations say that we've got all this money tucked away. Well, that's true, but we're deficit spending. Now, we know we're deficit spending, and we budgeted for it and projected it, but, we're still doing it. It's not, who wants to be deficit spending? So we saved a bunch, and now we're using it.
Yeah.
So that's
the... Can it help?
That's the budget review.
Yeah, so when we go after the ask, we know why.
Yeah, that's, yep.
Thank you, Zeke. That was a good explanation.
Thanks, Zeke.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions for Zeke for our finance report?
I did have one question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get your thoughts around it. I'm just looking to see if it makes sense, and I guess I want your opinion more so than a question.
Sure.
Quantifying the information, say, which would help us when we grow. Say, for example, there's a line item budget for teachers. Does it make sense to have, say, in parentheses, how many teachers there are? So we can now look at that total and say a year from now when there's, hypothetically speaking, 5 more teachers, that will help us anticipate what the number will be. Say, for example, also, busing. When we first started, it could have been, 5 buses versus today being 7 versus a couple years from now, it could be 9.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense to have in the line item entry a parenthesis on a number?
I think so, and in fact, I think Courtney and Karen put that together in the projections that they did for the expansion application last year, and probably I haven't seen it, but it's got to be in the renewal application from this year also. As a matter of fact, I can see it in my head with yellow and white columns. It does have exactly that information. And I think that's a good suggestion. It would be like a supplemental piece or like a dashboard type piece. We can't really change this form. That's the one that's mandated by the state.
Reporting could be, not to interrupt you, but I'd be careful with that because the teachers are paid according to who we hire, what their educational background is. So it's not a known amount of money. Even though there may be 5, we don't know what positions they'll be hired for. Whether they will be I would be very careful of that. I think they can, as they look at the budget, as they come together at the end of the year, I think they look at all that. After we get our numbers in for our students, they can look at that. But I think writing and projecting might in my mind, it might not be a good idea.
Well, Dwayne and I have been talking anyway about maybe putting together some kind of a dashboard based on the historical information that we have so far.
And that would be helpful.
And that would, you know...
Yeah, that would be helpful.
That would might shed some light on things that wouldn't project into the future, and we could discuss the merits of that at some point.
Yeah, but that's good to look at. But that history will just be good to have.
Yeah.
So I think that may be a more valuable tool.
Yeah, we were actually going to try to get together the day that turned out to be the retreat.
Oh.
So...
So it's on your to-do list.
Yes.
It is on the docket.
Thank you for that, Beth. Good discussion. Any other comments, questions? May I have a motion to accept the finance report?
I'll make a motion to accept the finance report.
Thank you. Second?
Yeah. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Passed. Okay, we're in good shape. Always good to hear. Okay, governance sent their minutes along, and all the dates are down, so please take a look at that. And if you're getting your next year's calendar ready, you got them in front of you, right?
There is. That, right. Yeah, two time changes.
We have a board member that just joined us.
Janine Salomon, I'm here.
Thank you.
And there are two time differences on this, but I'll make sure I get a final copy out to everybody and put a calendar on the website so
good.
We have it for the year.
All right.
Yep.
So we're good. Thank you for this. This is great. And then development also submitted their meeting minutes. And we'll be talking about development later. Correct? Okay, so that's good. So with that being said, our head of school's not here tonight. They're camping.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting?
Chilly. It's been sleeping
real cold. Yeah.
Yes. So just an update on the renewal. You all got the email, I presume, that Courtney sent out.
Yep.
And Angela and I were there. It went very well. The questions were good. We were all in the green, and so they felt good. We left feeling good. So, yeah. So there are two more. There's one more public hearing that will be held in Dover. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have it on your calendar or not. And then there will be a final hearing before they give us their final decision, which is, I believe, December 21st, if I'm not mistaken. Merry Christmas.
In between, they will send back recommendations from the hearing we just went to and any follow-up that they're required.
Right.
I don't know if you said that. Sorry if I'm reading anything.
I didn't, but thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's put to bed. Oh, taking a nap, let me put that. All right. Old business. Any update on the strategic plan? Anything you want to share, Angela?
I need appointments with each one of the committees in order to be able to help them step through where you've been and where you're going so that we can make a document, get it solidified into a document like we had last year so that we all have a reference point to be able to know what our journey will look like for this year. So the go-do coming out of retreat was that you guys each met in committee and talked amongst yourselves. And then made decisions about what was done and is done, what will continue in this coming year, and then made your list of critical action items, if you will, for the 2017-2018 fiscal year so that we may compile our strategic plan as a board, taking into consideration what we identified as a board are the critical issues which are captured in your action plan documents that I sent out about a month ago.
Thank you for that. That was really a nice way to compile it all for us.
I appreciate
all the talent on this board.
Right on. So if you do go back to the document that I sent about a month ago, I think it was a follow-up to the last board meeting, if I'm not mistaken.
And
or
I think
retreat.
I resent it in case somebody didn't have it. They would have it in front of them.
It gave you what was the strategic plan for last year, and then the ability to fill in for what you think it might be for the coming year. So what are carryovers and what are new items that will be on your list? And if you need any help or facilitation, I'm happy to join a committee meeting if you need me to. And kind of walk through it and step through it, and we can finish it up. So the goal is to be done by the end of the calendar year. Last year, I think we strove for December 7th, but I think we were a little bit later on the retreat this year.
Yeah.
So.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I'll do my best to be available when you guys are doing your meeting.
We'll call on you.
Okay.
All right.
I'll answer.
Any other old business? I didn't think there was. I don't have anything on there. Under new business, just a quick reminder that the Delaware Charter School Expo here in Newcastle County will be held Saturday, November 11th at the CEV building. So all the board members are certainly invited to join us down there that day. It's very informative, and I know last year we had a really good showing. We'll have a table and get to chat, see what's going on.
And attending that could count for your requirements for school events, much like attending the renewal process, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but what time is that?
You know what, Janine, I don't have that time.
Let's
but
look
the,
it up right
the
now.
Delaware Charter School Network. Yeah, they usually start somewhere around 9, I would guess.
Okay.
Was that
but
right,
you
can
it's
check
typically
it.
9 to 1, I
yeah.
think. But,
yeah, and, but you can check it out on your website.
Okay.
I just want to make sure you get the date.
It's
no,
on.
Yeah, that's why I want to calendar it up. And
yeah. Because I
times
did not
are crucial.
Know,
I got to fit it in.
I did
four
not
other things
get
on that,
that
day.
Right? I didn't get it from them, so I had asked Kendall to send
so
it.
So the one here at CEB is 10 to 2.
Ooh.
And if you can't make that, there is one at the Del Tech Terry campus in Dover.
Kent County, right.
Mm-hmm.
What's the date again on that? Can I just put
11-11.
11-11.
10 to 2, and then November 18th in Dover, 10 to 2.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so put that on my calendar. My calendar sure does fill up.
And just as a point of inquiry on that, did you mention that the charter renewal should could also qualify? Is that something that we should
look into?
Sure.
I just wanted to make sure we're
mm-hmm.
clear on that.
Sure.
So
whatever we come to.
Whatever we show.
You want to count the alphabet parade? Count.
Put it on there. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, if you attended the
that's
MoCap
so much
parade,
fun. That is,
oh, yeah.
that can, you know,
that's a school event.
Now, I think
we can
your
do
parents
the Odyssey
are
meeting
double dipping,
too,
but
yeah.
the rest of us.
It's
Chandra.
Yep.
Yeah, I just didn't know if you were doing it in lieu of her or something.
Yeah. yeah. Okay, parents, don't double dip with the alphabet parade. The rest of us, Zeke and I can get credit.
Unless you are handing out on flyers or
right.
on development, then I think it counts as
then
activity.
I think it counts. That's right. We'll give you credit.
My word was
count.
Pandering.
It count
was.
Double.
That's what I told everybody. I was pandering.
You get 2 points if you're pandering.
So tonight we are excited to welcome our auditor. Would you share your name?
Pam Baker.
And Pam, good to see you back. Do you need a table, darling?
I don't. I think I can probably
because these strong guys can bring one
yeah.
over.
Now,
true.
You good?
I'll tell you what. Let me, once I hand this stuff out. Why don't you take one and pass it around. I've got a couple different things here I'm going to hand out to you.
A different one for the record.
I'll put it in
the
border.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Should I just keep? Yeah.
There's probably more than
the
yep.
Yep.
Whatever.
Yeah, we got. We have quite a few board members,
oh,
and
oh, sorry,
not
sorry.
Here tonight.
Yeah. So I'm handing out the a copy of the actual audit right now, and then the first
thank
thing
you.
I handed out the shorter thing. Do we have extra? We should have that.
Yeah, we have extra.
Okay, there you go. I'll leave these for you. For you.
Thank you.
And this also, just get myself together. Yes, if you want one for the, these are extra.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, so as I said, the skinny thing I sent out, handed out at first, is the audit results. That's what I'm going to go through with you. The second that I handed out is the actual audit report itself. But I just sort of summarized it in the audit results so that you could get a sense of how you did overall. And then if you have any questions, we can, you know, go into this one, Rebecca, that no problem. I did, full disclosure, just noticed a mistake in my audit results, so I'm going to correct that as we go. So, but this, the audit results is just for you. If this is not what gets submitted to the state, the FIC report is the one that gets submitted to the state, and it was submitted, okay? We submitted a draft a couple of weeks ago by the due date, the original due date. The due date was extended because the state auditors did not release the report on your cash balances, everybody's, until a week or so ago. So the deadline was extended for finals, and that's been done. So looking at this, so if you're gonna, if you take the short audit results, I'm going to ask you to look at page 2, and just to give you a sense of how the audit went for this year, okay? We were on site at the beginning of August, the end of July, the beginning of August. We had two people on staff who were here on site working with your staff to complete the audit, okay? Everything, and what's important for you as a Board of Governance to know is that, one, we were taken very seriously. Everything was ready when we got here. You know, the staff really did what was asked of them, and were very cooperative through the process. As a result of the audit procedures that we applied, you did have clean opinions or unmodified opinions. And you may recall in the past we've talked a little bit about your statements, and you have kind of a dual-purpose set of financial statements, right? You've got what the state maintains, which is your cash balances, and that's what you live with every day, right? The appropriations you have, the bills that you have to pay, the payroll that gets processed by the state. But then you also have your full accrual or entity-wide financial statements, which looks at the capital assets you own, any depreciation on that. So that's included in this booklet as well. Because there's different presentations and different basis of accounting, we have to give an opinion on everyone. So that's why when we say we issued unmodified opinions on governmental major fund supplementary, that's because of the format of your financial statements. What it really means to you is good job all the way around. Okay. We had 3 adjusting journal entries that we proposed that, of course, were agreed to. We had the support for them. One was to reclassify something that got put in the wrong spot. It was still recorded, just recorded to the wrong account. And then to adjust for prepaid rent. So you pay your rent at the end of this month for next month. Well, it makes a difference in June because next year, next month is next year's. So we pulled that back in and showed it as a prepaid asset at the end of June. We tested your internal control systems. We looked at cash receipts, which for you are very, very small, right? Because most of your revenue is put into your bucket by the state. Very little cash actually comes through. But we look at those controls nevertheless, just because cash is a high-risk area in any audit that you do. Anything, anytime there is a cash point, we're going to look at that. We also looked at your cash disbursements activities to make sure that procedures were being followed appropriately for proper approvals, proper adherence to any bid requirements for the larger things that you buy. And we also look at payroll, okay? Even though the state processes your payroll, it still is up to the school to be sure that hours are captured appropriately, that any information on every employee is put into the state system correctly, and so we test that as well. We had no findings related to any of your control cycles, okay? And then, as I mentioned, your audit report was submitted timely. Okay, so if you go to the next page.
If I may.
Yes, please.
Just a quick question around dates.
Yes.
The date that we submitted the preliminary, if you could.
The preliminary was submitted on or about September 1st. So the due date.
The due date.
I think it was the day before.
Okay. And, right. And I know they have an adjusted period, you mentioned, due to the late release of their own statistics. Right,
right. And that, so the final was submitted actually today.
Oh, excellent.
Yep. So they extended the due date to October the 27th, I believe. But it's, you know, we submit them all in bulk.
Excellent.
Okay. They've also been submitted already to the Division of Accounting because they take the, all the charter school reports and put them in the state's financial audit. Okay, so they have to give them to their auditors. That's already been done. And then tomorrow we'll be sending all of them to the state auditor's office as well. That's one of the requirements that they receive the audit reports. And while I'm on that, just so you know, so you'll recall that there was new legislation last year that talked about the audit process for the charter schools. And in that legislation it stated that it, under certain criteria, you actually fell under one of those criteria, being a charter school that was within their first 5 years of operations. Mm-hmm. It gave, that law gave the auditor's office the opportunity, if they so chose, to either conduct your audit themselves or to engage someone else to conduct your audit. It also gives them the opportunity to add procedures to the independent audit. What we did as a result of that legislation, last year we sat down with the auditor's office, we met with Tom Wagner, and we walked through with Tom what the process is for our audits. And we asked him, was there anything he wanted us to incorporate in last year's audit? He said no. What he would really like to do is just make sure that he gets the results. So we sent all the results last year. We then, we reached out to have a meeting, but that never really happened. Eventually it did. It happened at the beginning of this year because before this year's audit season started, we reached out again and said, is there anything that you want us to add to the audit procedure? And really that's there so that they can, if there is an issue at any other charter school or anything else, they can say, well, look at this at everyone. And again, they had nothing to add this year. The only input from them we had was if we had any charter school audits that had findings, we went over with them what our approach was going to be this year. And so, you know, they gave their blessings to us doing the ones that we did, so, you know, you're good to go there. So looking at page 3, so these charts are the are numbers coming out of your audit. And I just sort of grabbed some of the more relevant numbers to not put you through the pain of looking at every one of the financial statements. But as I said, if we need to, we will. And the first mistake I saw, okay, when you look at cash, capital assets, your pension liability, and your net position. Okay, this is looking at that full accrual, okay? If you look at your cash, it says your cash is at $371,000. But if you look at the next box down, the fund balance, that's the fund level, that should be the resources that you have available going into the next fiscal year. Your fund balance is at $1.3 million. So I said there's a disconnect there. I think what happened was the cash, the million got dropped, so the bars didn't get. So your cash position is pretty close to that fund balance position because you don't really have a lot outstanding at the end of the year. The only thing you have is summer pays. So your summer pays would be taken into consideration for that fund balance. So you have you know you're doing well in terms of sustainability and funds to go into the next year. You do have some capital assets, and so they only changed by depreciation, a couple things, not anything major purchased this year. Your net pension liability went from $384,000 to $1.2 million. We're going to look at that on the next page. And then your net position, which is really your equity, because you have cash, you know, is still positive, okay? Again, I touched on the fund balance. So the fund balance, most of your cash is available for you to spend in the next year. But let's go to the next page. You remember we talked about the fact that because your employees participate in the state's pension plan, to the extent that the state's pension plan is not fully funded, you have to pick up your portion for your employees of the unfunded liability of the state's pension plan. Wow. And that gets recorded. It's amazing to see how that can change quickly, right? So looking at right. So the percentage funded of the state's pension plan, if you look under the next chart down, 95.8% it was funded the first year we recorded this liability. And I think I said that first year, that's pretty good, you know? I mean, Pennsylvania's 50%.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's pretty good, right? But look how in 2 years it's down to 84%, which is a little concerning. And it's a little concerning because, one, the markets have been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So this has got to be coming from more the demographics of who's in the pension plan. And we all know there are more people approaching retirement than there are people at the other end of the spectrum. So I'm not an actuary, but, you know, if I just use my broad brush there, that I don't know how significantly that's going to change.
And this
good.
Is total state employees.
Correct. 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 Yeah, the plan has all state employees. This
that's
is
right.
just your little piece
this
of it.
Ours,
so you got to look at everybody at where you are. And unfortunately, you're going to pick up a piece of that, even though a lot of the charter population of teachers is really younger, right?
Yeah.
So you're sort of subsidizing some of the others if you look at it that way. Now, we're going to have another big whack next year. If you look at that last bar that says $5.6 million, which probably for your budget isn't even, like, what are we looking at? What does that represent? Okay, so within the pension plan, or within the benefits for your employees is a post-employment benefit, or OPEB, where they get health care beyond retirement. So they've got their pension, but then there's also other benefits that retirees receive, healthcare related. The state funds the pension plan. So the contribution that you're making out of the benefits, the OEC rate you pay in, that does go to fund the pension. It goes into a pension trust. Post-employment benefits, the state of Delaware does not fund. There is no trust. They pay as you go. It's called pay as you go. So whoever they have to pay for this year, that's what they pay for. But they're not looking to the future, to what they're going to have to ultimately pay out. There's a new accounting rule that says you can't just, you can pay as you go. You can choose not to fund it, but you can't choose to not record the liability for it. So the states had their actuary look at that plan that's not funded, and the statewide liability for that OPEB is $7.1 billion. So next year, you're going to have to pick up your piece of that too. So we don't know what that's going to be exactly, but we just use the same percentage as the pension just to give you a perspective. $5.6 million. We took a big swallow on the 1.2 from the pension, but now we're going to have this. And honestly, for your perspectives, from running your school and moving forward, you know, there's not an immediate impact, right? Because the state funds, you know, you pay that rate. You know, if the rate goes up, you presume the funding, you would presume. But here's where your risk is. Your risk is that gets affected somehow. You know, we're only going to fund X percent. I'm only going to fund so much of that. The other place that significantly is impacting our charter schools is the fact that, as you know, you aren't funded for capital.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So every one of the charter schools that has had to go into the marketplace and or to funders for funds, these numbers are, you know, looking bad. It's very, very difficult to explain. And you don't have any taxing authority. You know, so a school that has this liability, or the state that books this liability, still has the full faith and credit of the government behind any debt.
Right.
You don't have that. So there is some risk with this situation for you. You know, there's not a lot you can do about it, but, you know, I just want to make sure you kind of just see the picture.
So that leads me to, for clarification purposes,
sure.
If I may, I think this is, again, unfunded risk, right?
Yes.
Comparative to funded risk, I think that's important to note.
Yeah.
Secondarily, I think, are you seeing, just in your professional opinion, any insurance products in the market, maybe even new or creative, for that matter,
mm-hmm.
insurance products, now or in the future, around this unfunded liability risk that we, you know, given particularly this OPEB amount,
right?
And we know that we have folks getting ready to approach retirement significantly
right,
across
right.
the state, not just in education, et cetera.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Any products around insurance?
What's going to have to directly answer your question, yes. No. Mm-hmm. You know, what's going to have to happen is, the most I've seen is several years ago, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, who was in trouble with their pension back then even, did issue bonds to shore up the plan, you know, but, you know, it's back in the weeds again. So I don't know what the answer is going to be. And one of the reasons that the Accounting Standards Board put this rule out there and said, you can't keep pretending like that's not there.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you just can't. You're going to have to put it on yours, and everybody's going to have to deal with it. So, you know, the outcome is going to have to be at some point, how are we going to manage this risk? Are we going to change the benefit? Are we going to fund the benefit? If we're going to fund it, how are we going to fund it? And so that's going to be at a larger level. But it is important for you, you know, to have a voice to say, you know, hey, what's going on here? But I mean, the benefits that, I mean, if I was a state employee, I might like it, sure. You know, but the reality is the benefits are rich, and they are more so than what we've seen in the corporate world.
They've actually come back.
The corporates have come down, and nothing has changed on the government side.
Because the reality in the corporate world, they realized about 5, 10 years ago, it's going to bankrupt us. We can't, it's not tenable over the long haul.
Correct. Same thing for the government's in the same position, you know, but they didn't have to book that. See, the for-profit sector has, each company has a pension plan, and each company had to book that, you know. They've had to face the reality. Governments, until this new accounting rule, did not have to. So this is just pushing everything up to the forefront. So how quickly before it changes, I don't know, but, you know, something's going to have to come out of it. Okay, going on to pages 5 and 6, you'll recall that we started something a little bit different last year, kind of once the audit is done, taking your numbers and running them through the DOE's framework, so that if there were any ahas, anything that, you know, could be problematic, we could kind of look at it now and explain it so that you're ready to explain it when they come in question. And it sounds like you're going through renewal, so this was probably going to be very important. But the good news is you are meeting your standard on current ratio, unrestricted days cash, and your enrollment. You have no debt, so you don't have an issue there. So good news on those criteria. When you go to page 6, total margin, your net income divided by your total revenues, you're approaching standard. I think that's because you've been growing, right? So anytime you get these 3-year trends, sometimes they can trip you up. You shouldn't have a problem with this, okay? It should be fine when they're looking at it. Your debt to asset ratio is good, again, because you don't have debt. And then your cash flow is positive. So you really should not, from that perspective, have any issues or any problems. I have heard noise that, or some conversation, that DOE is looking at these calculations again. I don't know what that's, I really am not pretty know what they're going to do with that, but hopefully you're having a good experience with your renewal process. I have been hearing pretty good things. I have another couple of schools going through it, and they said it's been going pretty well, so that's all positive, right? And then pages 7 and 8 is just a summary of most of the things I should have already talked about, just, you know, so that you know what our responsibility was to give an opinion, and it was your responsibility to keep the books and records. We did assist with putting these financial statements together. Once again, you're not a traditional business that has a accounting system and a general ledger and debits and credits. You don't operate that way because you're forced to use the state system. So you operate a little bit differently. So it means we have to take that data and we have to pull it out and we have to use Excel sheets and we have to kind of pull all the pieces together. So the pieces are yours. You give us the data. We don't create the data. But we do have to kind of put it together in a way that ends up being financial statements. And so we were engaged to do that. We put it in our engagement letter. From an independent standpoint, it's important that you know that that's the role we played. Okay, we didn't make any management decisions. If No significant deficiencies, no material weaknesses, no issues to report out to you. So good job, good audit. Do you have any questions?
I just want to follow up a little bit on this pension issue. Mm-hmm. If I recall, there's an OEC rate established by the state.
Right.
And they fund a certain amount for pensions.
Correct. It's in that rate.
And I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe we match it. Do you know if that's, if it's shared or if it's just, it's just in the state appropriation?
It's in the appropriation.
Okay. And that's to cover the regular pension liability.
Yeah, right. It covers the pension contribution and the pay as you go for the OPEB.
Oh,
so there's
okay.
a piece of that rate,
okay.
it's very small, it's 1.4% or something like that. There's a small piece of that rate that covers the post-employment benefits, but it's paying that rate. So the pension rate you pay goes to the pension trust fund.
Uh-huh.
The OPEB rate you pay goes to pay whoever's giving that benefit today.
Right.
Okay.
But both of those, at least for the current year, are included within the rate.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
And this... this projected unfunded liability
right.
For the future.
Mm-hmm.
Are you specifically referring to the OPEB?
Yeah. Yeah, the post-employment mm-hmm. benefit that's not funded.
Right.
When you say that presents a risk for us, in what way does that present a risk? What is the material risk there?
Okay. Take out the thick one and turn to page... 12. Page 12 is your statement of net position. It's like your balance sheet, all right, if you're a business. Look at the under non-current liabilities, the net pension liability. See that $1,181,416? Okay, that's the pension liability. That pension liability, if you increase that liability, it decreases net position. Net position is your equity. So if a liability goes up, equity goes down. When we book this $5 million, it's going to add, it's going to be 1.1, and it's going to be another $5 million, which means your net position will be negative. So I'm a banker, right? So I'm WSFS, and you come to me and you want to buy a building. And I go, let me see your financial statements. And this is what you're going to give them. And when you give them this, and they see negative $5 million, and they see a liability, it's called a liability.
Right.
And they see liability, $6 million, they're going to want to know, how are you going to pay that liability? And then you're going to explain it, and then they're going to go, I'm a bank, I have a set of rules, I have to adhere to the rules, and... You know, it's difficult.
So if I were a banker and you were the school trying to get a loan, what would you say to me as to how you're going to deal with that liability, that it's not really the school's liability?
Yeah, you have to explain to them the concept that your employees are technically employees of the state of Delaware, and they participated in the state's pension and post-employment benefits program, and that the state provides you funding for the current contribution, but that you share the risk of the status of that pension plan at any given point in time.
And is there a way that that risk could become actual at some point?
Over time, you have to remember the liability. Mr. Banker, that was a good question. So the liability that's shown here is an estimate based on actuarial studies. So, over time, that's going to change depending upon how good the market does that's got the money invested to fund the pension, what the experience of the pension plan is. So, that liability, and our share. If the state has a lot more employees, then our proportionate share will go down. Okay? So, all of those things factor into that liability, and so it will change over time. But there's not going to be a day, right, when this, when anyone knocks on your door and says, okay, we're done, pay it off.
Yeah.
Another way to look at it is this, and I've been asked this question before too. So let's say, because I've had these conversations, let's say the school goes out of business, right? So we shut our doors. We're not going to be a charter school anymore. Do we have to write a check? Well, no, because those employees now are going to go elsewhere. They're either going to leave the plan or they're going to go to other places, and your proportionate share will go to somebody else. So it's not a liability that you're ever going to write a check for. The most at risk you are at right now, the most at risk you are is the funding status of the plan going, getting worse, and your current proportionate share having to be funded more.
But let me just ask, mm-hmm. to the extent that there are changes mm-hmm. in the benefits at the state
yeah.
level reduced, then mm-hmm. presumably the proportionate percentage will go down. Because this is not mm-hmm. unique to us. This is,
no,
this
it's
is
everybody.
Shared by everybody.
Everybody mm-hmm. shares it.
So, and in recognizing that mm-hmm. corporate was, you know, corporations were ahead of the curve, they sort of fixed it, reduced mm-hmm. the benefits.
Right.
Presumably, that has to happen at the state level to some degree, again, or we're all going to go bankrupt as states and across the country. So whenever that sort of changes, then the accounting will reflect it.
Yes.
So down the road, this number may go from 6 million to half of that or a third of that. It could happen literally overnight, like in a year, depending
sure.
on how the laws change
right.
down the road.
You're right. You're right.
Think
you're right.
optimistic.
Well,
right.
I mean, yes and no, because we're talking about people's
pension
benefits. And, you know, if I'm 70, I don't like this conversation. If I'm 30, I'm like, yeah, cut it. You know, it just,
know.
It's
so
hard,
true.
It's a difficult balance.
It's a
it
difficult
really
balance.
Is.
And there's
yeah.
many more people, again, where our mix of employees is such that there's more people at the top end.
Right. Well, right
bottom.
Now, demographically,
yeah,
we're
so.
Dealing with the
yeah.
baby boomer wave
like,
coming
yeah.
through, which
yeah.
is part of the reason statistically this is so high.
You're absolutely right, yeah.
But it so. Should, to some degree, be counterbalanced by the fact that the market is at an all-time high
I
right
know,
now.
That's what
but
I
it's
said.
Not. Like, that's what's mostly scary to me. Because
I know.
I would, I mean, we just went over 3,000 for the first time ever. So
I know.
I digress.
Well, so keep
but,
in
no.
mind, to that point,
yeah.
To that point, keep in mind, this liability is based on numbers, not to get too technical, but you're following this well. You know, they're a year old. So you're allowed to use a measurement date a year.
Wow. Okay.
So maybe next year,
okay. yeah.
maybe next year, I'm hoping, next year we're going to bump. I didn't expect it to go down. I really didn't.
Right.
I was a little surprised because it's not like the markets overnight have gotten better. So
right,
I
right.
really would have, but next year when we have June of 17...
It'll probably reflect market changes.
We're hoping
we're
the market
now,
change.
It's a catch up because it's a little
yeah,
backdated.
Exactly. We're hoping yeah. that happens. You know. So.
Well, it decreases somewhat.
Yeah. So just to follow up the on this chart of net pension mm-hmm. liability, is our current liability, if it were called all at once,
sure.
the combination of both of these?
Well, as of right now, it's just the 1.1. The 5 million
mm-hmm.
will hit next year. That new accounting standard doesn't go into effect until next year. We just put it there for you so that we could let you know it's coming.
And
the bottom line is that if we're going to ask for money from a bank, we do it now.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
good
the bottom
point.
Line. If
well,
we want a loan, we need to do it in this.
That's a good point because you still have a total positive net position.
We're positive right now.
If you're
right.
thinking of
if,
doing
if
that, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Is it accurate to think of this when it's actually in place as being what our liability would be if our future liability was called at this time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Thank you.
Did a nice job, Pam.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry to bombard you with
this. No, really. I mean, explaining numbers is a difficult thing to do.
I know.
We always welcome you because we know you're going to shorten it and help us all.
Well,
those who understand it are good. Those of us learning... Meet
well,
you, Pam.
I didn't break it out because you guys were doing so well, but if it gets bad, I mean, this is full of
positive.
Oh, yeah. So if it
you.
Gets too bad, you're good to go.
Thank you so much.
Thank
but anyway,
you,
we're feeling good. And by the way, our renewal interview went very well.
Yay!
Our public hearing went very well. So
good.
Yeah, so
good.
We're moving along.
Oh, you guys
positively.
Are great. You guys are so
yes.
great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks
so
very
much.
Have a good evening.
Appreciate it.
It would seem to me, however, that going forward, even though they're required to account for it, there has to be a way that we, if we were borrowing money, that you could excise that, have, you know, the footnote that says this does not include the blah, blah, blah payment. You know, I don't know. To me, it seems like if the whole world is dealing with it, that the accountants are going to figure out a way so that you can present information to your for loans to bankers
to
that
bankers.
Qualifies
but I also
it in some
think,
way.
Janine, there's probably enough charters out there, and if they can begin to educate the bankers also if they're going looking for something. So,
it's a two-way
street.
Right,
so I think
right.
you're right. Yeah.
yeah.
What can we can say to our auditors, what can you give us, what can you do for us so we can present so that it, they understand it. So, yeah, I think. Let's hope that.
Well, since we don't have the ability to raise taxes, one question would be what would happen if they called it and we either can't pay or we refuse to pay because, say, we have a commercial loan that has higher priority.
Well, we would refuse to pay if we didn't have it. And
right.
According to our budget, we don't have it.
Right.
So. Yeah, I don't think it's something we have to worry about today, but I think it's sort of like some other things that we're looking at, that we're going to keep it in the forefront and understand it so that when we get there, we know what we're dealing with. So I think tonight was good to have this heads up.
Mm-hmm.
I think the word, which is manage.
Manage, yes.
That risk needs to be managed.
Yes,
incorporated
and we're
going to
keep our eye on it.
Maybe this should be added to the match tax.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes. We have a lot of things to manage. Tonight's been money. I don't believe there is any public comments tonight, so I am going to ask for somebody to make a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Any, all in favor?
Aye.
No opposition? Okay. The meeting is adjourned at 6:55.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.